14, starting at the first verse. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves.
You think when you've read a passage many times, and you also will have read it, I'm sure, that you understand it and you've got it. And then you read it again and somebody asks you to preach on it. Maybe that doesn't happen so much to you, but it happens to me. And it makes you think, goodness, what is this really saying? And there are quite complicated things in this reading that Fiona's just read. And if it's any comfort to you, the disciples of Jesus found it quite complicated too. And two of them had kind of difficulties about it as Jesus spoke. I go and prepare a place for you, he said. And if I do that, I'll come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. And Thomas thought to himself, no, I don't. I don't know it. And he was the kind of fellow, you know, who couldn't he just say it quietly to himself. He blurts it out, the idiot. He makes everybody know that he doesn't understand. It's not a bad thing in itself. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way? We don't know where you're going. Thomas, are you listening? Are you hearing to what you're saying, man? You've been with him for years. You've been one of his close disciples. Do you know where he's going? And you want to take him aside? You would take him aside, wouldn't you? And you would say, of course you know where he's going. He's been talking about it ever since you knew him. He's been speaking about going to Jerusalem and dying for you and rising again on Easter Day. So he didn't use the word Easter Day, rising again, and he's going back to God, his Father. He's been on about that all the time. Thomas, were you not playing a blind bit of attention? He didn't say it, of course, in that kind of way at all. Certainly not in a giving Thomas a row kind of way. He was much more gentle than that. And he turned to Thomas and he said, Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one is going to come to the Father except through me. You heard what I was saying? Jesus was on his way to take our sins. That was why he had come. It's a sacrifice for our sins. He'd been preparing the way for that in his whole ministry. And especially when we think of Lent. This is the first Sunday in Lent. Then that's underlined for us. That's the journey on which he's going. No one comes to the Father except through me. And what I do for them. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. So there was the first thing. We haven't dealt with all the questions that are in it. Maybe you've got other questions that are lurking there about this little section. But it was clear about the way. And Jesus was the way home to the Father. In my Father's house are many rooms. How are people going to occupy the rooms? Basically, through Jesus taking our sins and preparing that room for you and me. The way is there for us. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And that takes me to the second main part of our meditation I'm encouraging you on this morning. Because as you read this, and actually as you go on reading in John, you'll discover this becomes just so obvious and so repeated that you'll almost maybe get a wee bit tired of it. Because again and again, where Jesus takes his disciples is into this relationship with the Father. The way is a way into a relationship with the Father. And it's that relationship that is worth reflecting on for a bit this morning. The Father's house is leading us to think about the Father's heart. What is it for you and I to be a Christian? What is it really? What is it in the end? You know, you trusted your life to Jesus. I don't know, maybe recently or maybe long ago. And when you trusted Jesus, what happened was that you were brought through Jesus into a relationship with the Father. As many as received him, John's Gospel again, to them gave he power to become children of God. You became a child of God. That's at the heart of everything, that you become through Jesus a child of the Father. And in that relationship, you live. Now, I've described my Father's house, and it was the way it was. I've described it to you a bit. And I've tried to help you to see what his Father's house was like. And what Jesus says to us in this little passage here, among several things that are quite difficult, the basic thing he says to us is, I've come so that you can have a place, a room, if you want to call it that, in my Father's house. In my Father's house. You're not going to be in anybody else's house. You're going to be in my Father's house. Get the atmosphere of that. I think we're meant to get the atmosphere of that. The homeliness of it. Let me remind you of something else that comes later in this very chapter. One of my very favorite verses in the whole Bible. Listen to it. John 14, verse 23. Jesus said, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." Make our home. There is nothing more homely than this relationship that you and I have. It's not may have, but you and I have through Christ with our Father. Abba, Father, let me be thine and thine alone. That's the chorus. It's based on what the Bible says about our position. We are children of the Father. We are brothers and sisters of Jesus in a living family, in a living home. Is that not very special? We tend to make things awfully complicated, I think, a lot of the time, don't we? But in the end of the day, when it comes down to it, what really matters is that I know that God through Jesus is my loving Heavenly Father. And I have many brothers and sisters. Well, I'm very privileged, more privileged than you probably in this regard, because I've been in many places. I have brothers and sisters from all over the world. And a beautiful gift the other day from a girl in Korea that we met out in Bishkek. Oh, just so many. But I'm in that family. I'm in a family with you. Goodness, one of the special things that's happened to me over the last few years is my relationship with you. So I just love coming. And I'm so glad you put up with me. But there's the loving relationship. And of course, we need to be challenged to be more loving than we are. But isn't it a wonderful privilege? And isn't this something that you just want everybody in the whole world to know? Oh, I was very moved. Perhaps you were. You've been moved at many things in this terrible earthquake in Turkey and Syria. But I think crowning it for me was something last night. It was portrayed, it happened a wee while ago, but it was portrayed most beautifully last night, movingly, on television. This wee boy who was rescued from the ruins of his home, and he was rescued because his father had deliberately protected him, covered him over, and shielded him as best as he could in that terrible situation. And there was this wee boy in hospital, and the surgeons and medical people, absolutely amazing. We need to pray for these people. Their hearts are breaking as they deal with these situations. You know, they're not machines. Their hearts are breaking as they try to help these wee boys and girls, and they were trying to help this wee boy. The thing was that he had been protected by his father. Now it so happens that his injuries were so bad and they were so long in getting to him that actually the wee boy did die. I trust that he went home to know his father in the glory to come. But that aside, isn't it a lovely thing that our Heavenly Father protects us and is willing to die for us that we might be protected and loved? He cares for us like that. Now, I don't know. Have things been difficult for you the last wee while? Have you been confused and wondering about God's love for you? Well, I hope you won't worry anymore. Jesus says in his teaching to us today, he says explicitly, don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. The loving care of our Heavenly Father goes beyond all imagining and every kind of tenderness. Philip, we'll have to get to him. Philip said, Lord, we've a problem. We haven't seen the Father. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Oh, dearie me, Philip. You just want to shake your head. Goodness me, Philip, where have you been? You're like Thomas, where have you been? Have you not seen it again and again? You remember the man who received his sight? And he opened his eyes, and the first thing that he saw was Jesus. That was God working. You remember Zacchaeus, the funny wee man who climbed up the tree and Jesus invited himself to his own house. Jesus invited himself to his own house, made his home in Zacchaeus' house. This day has salvation come to this house, Jesus said of it, because Zacchaeus had seen God in the face of Jesus. As if just looking at Jesus was enough to take you right into the Father's house and into the Father's heart. Tom Torrance tells a story of how when he was a chaplain during the war, there was a young soldier who was injured and in hospital. And Torrance was there to be his pastor. And the question the boy asked was this: is God really like Jesus? Is God really like Jesus? He needed to know that. He was dying. Is God really like Jesus? Oh, yes. You can hear Tom Torrance, if you ever knew him, saying the answer. Of course. That's the answer to everything. We see the face of God in the face of Jesus. Philip, they that have seen me have seen the Father. Let's sing, and John chapter 14 continues with these words: believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe in the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Astonishing words. It describes these words, the greater works, or hints at them, the greater works that will come out of the coming of Jesus His incarnation, his life on earth, his death and his resurrection. It says that there are greater things still to do, still to see. Whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. Well, you say, that's not possible. It's not possible, surely, for us to do greater things than he did. How could such a thing be thought even? But of course, Jesus says it so that we will think. And we'll maybe get a vision of what he can do that is greater than what he did. Jesus came to the Jewish people, the Jewish nation. He was limited in time and space. He never got much beyond Syria and Palestine as we know it. He was restricted in his movements and his geography. But when he had finished the work that God gave him to do in the cross and the resurrection, the whole thing took on a different dimension, didn't it? And what had been merely local became international. What became one small part of the world encompassed the whole world. And the group of them had been 12, perhaps at the very most influencing maybe a few thousand, like the feeding of the 5,000. The movement of Jesus influenced Cyprus and what was called Asia Minor in those days, and reached into the heart of Rome. And Paul was talking about going to Spain, wasn't he? The whole thing was expanding at pace. And what Jesus did began there in Galilee was not something that was a short-term fix, as it were, but was a long-term solution. It met people's needs at the deepest level. It gave them vision for social activity. It gave them a fresh understanding of how they could be politically ordered. And that was all to come, I know. Took time. But greater works than these have followed, haven't they? Is that what Jesus meant? I think in part, at least, that's what he meant. And when you read the latest Bible Society report of millions of new Christians coming into existence in China. That's just one example. Oh, I know we have some issues at the moment in Scotland. Scotland isn't the world. God is at work. Amazingly, even today, greater works. And brothers and sisters, we need vision, don't we? Even in our own situation. Let me tell you a story of Dundee. I hope I'm all right to tell you it. But there were a group of Christians praying there in a church not very far from you, actually, in Dundee. A wee bit, but not very far. And they were praying because a women's prison, this will be a clue for you if you know these things, a women's prison has been set up in this part of Dundee. And the women in this little fellowship, well, it's a significant group, it's not all that little, but they were concerned. They thought, how could we reach out to them? And so they met on a Saturday morning and they made it a matter of prayer. And while they were praying, a knock came to the door. They were officials from the prison across the road. And they were saying, we see that there's a church here. We would like to be involved with you. Would you mind if we sent people who wanted to come to church here to your church? No, of course, they said, right away. That's what we were praying about. They've got an open door. They were just praying about it, you understand? Is that a greater work? God doing it in Dundee? Or here's something that happened in Edsel just the last few months. Two women came to one of the elders in the church at Edsel and said to him, they didn't go to the church. As far as I know, they're not Christians at all. But they went to him and they said to him, we're thinking about our kids. We would like them to know about the Bible. We would like to know them to know some of the stories of Jesus. Do you think we could have a room? In the church, maybe. Yeah, you would have a wee bit of room that you could fit us in. Came from them. There was no plan, there was no church plan to do this. This is from outside. Is this a greater work? And what has happened? Well, there's 25 youngsters meet every week for Bible stories. It's through the week. Is God working? Maybe these little stories. Very encouraging to me, I have to tell you. Things like that happening. Is that God doing greater works? Should our eyes be open to look for them? And be blessed as we find that our loving Jesus, who comes to us from his Father's house to bring us safe at last ourselves to the Father's house, our loving Jesus is working in us, and he's planning to reach others through us, and he's doing great things, is he not? So keep on abiding in the Father's house, and know the Father's grace, and know the Father's sufficiency for us all. Let us pray. Lord, these are wonderful words that Jesus shared with his friends, and they're wonderful words you're sharing now with us. Help us, Lord, to be blessed as we think of them this week and hold them in our hearts, abiding in your love through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.